Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Earlier this week, we spoke with the parents of Austin Tice, a former Marine and freelance journalist kidnapped in 2012 and still held in Syria. His parents say they've received little assistance from the Syrian or U.S. governments, although now they're talking to U.S. officials who are part of a new hostage review announced after the death of Kayla Mueller. National Security Advisor Susan Rice invited hostage families to contact the government. Diane and John Foley did not have that invitation when their son, a former hostage James Foley, journalist and teacher, was held captive, then brutally beheaded by ISIS fighters. His parents have since been vocal about improving the government's approach to American hostages after Stephen Sotloff, Peter Kasich, Kayla, their son, were all killed. Diane and John Foley join us from NPR's New York studios, and we want to apologize for maybe adding to what you have to go through every time your son's death is mentioned. We are sorry.
Well, we're sorry, too, certainly, Robin. We don't want Jim to have died in vain. And we see some positive things. First of all, the hostage review is something positive. We're grateful to that and to all the families who are participating in that. Truth is that this could happen to any American, anybody in the whole world. It is a very frightening time for us.
How tough have the last few weeks in particular been? You know, every time another parent's child is killed, a Jordanian, two Japanese, Kayla Mueller.
It's just so frustrating and so sad that we're losing some of the best people in our countries. And it's a very, very complicated issue. We're dealing with the worst of all evils, and we have a hostage policy right now that is not very effective. And that in itself is a very complicated issue. We're obviously saddened by Kayla's death, and there are no words to make that right. But we're just searching for some way that we can improve this whole process of attempting to bring valuable American citizens home.
Well, let's dive into the policy first. Let's start at the very first point. Are you both, as the president is, against paying ransoms? There were hostages held with your son who are freed. France denies that they paid ransoms. The New York Times reports that they did.
We understand that monies paid to terrorists wind up being used to support terrorist activity. We also understand that in this recent times, Americans are also being captured for propaganda purposes and to, I believe, hurt our country. So not only is money a reason to kidnap Americans, but certainly these other issues as well. And we have become very good friends with the European release hostages. They're, in a way, some of our sons because they lived with Jimmy a year and a half. So I'm very happy for them that they're at home trying to restart their lives. I'm very sad that Jimmy and Peter and Stephen and now Kayla won't have that chance.
Yeah. And, you know, that is part of what we hope Jim's legacy can be, that we can stimulate discussion about what we feel is truly in the best interest of our country and our citizens, as well as improving safety standards for freelancers, which is one thing that went on last night, Robin. There was a coalition of major news companies, NGOs, and journalist organizations that met at Columbia University to endorse some worldwide freelance protection standards.
Well, let me ask you. I just want to be sure we're clear. It sounds as if you're saying, you know, ransom shouldn't be off the table. Is that what I'm hearing, that it should be at least just discussed?
We feel it should be studied. We feel that it's time to really look thoroughly and research our policy to make sure that it is truly in the best interest of all American citizens.
And what came out of the meeting? What's the best way to protect freelancers?
Well, it was a series of things that freelancers should commit to, such as certain risk training courses, you know, contact with the news organization on a regular basis. Many online news agencies worldwide agreed on beginning steps for increasing safety for their freelancers.
Robin, the other thing we learned is that when we went to France, the journalistic community there was tightly knit and involved in actually vetting rumors, sharing information with the French government, actually going to the French president or one of his high-level deputies and saying, what do you know? So I think the other issue is we need some level of camaraderie among the journalistic community here in this country so that they can support one another.
What about rescues? We know that there were failed attempts to rescue your son and other hostages. A lot of debate now. The British and the French said they both had given intelligence to the U.S. that the U.S. didn't act on for about a month. By then it was too late. They'd been moved. Obama officials say we did the best that we could trying to find out if the information was real. Your thoughts, hearing that maybe the U.S. could have acted a month sooner, and yet it is the fog of this new kind of war. Your thoughts?
I think that first I want to thank the military people involved with the raid attempt. It was obviously a very dangerous situation, and those young men and women were fearless in attempting to rescue our children. I guess my concern, there are several concerns. One is that if our only response to hostage taking is military rescue, then it's a very, very limited arsenal. I mean, there's not really any element of much element of surprise.
Well, and Austin Tice's parents told us earlier this week that they don't want rescues. They think they're too dangerous for the hostages and the troops.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. The lateness of our attempted rescue probably was related to the fact that the European countries were trying to negotiate the release of their citizens and felt they could do so successfully. And I think they asked the United States not to do such a raid until that, in fact, happened for those very reasons. Now, that's my opinion only.
You know, I think our government was aware of their location months before this was attempted.
So. Yeah. Well, and you have said, you've been vocal, expressing frustration that something wasn't done sooner?
We really feel strongly that as Americans, we can do better.
Well, and then the last prong of the debate over what to do about the hostages has been talks. The Tice family is calling for more talks, more diplomacy. Of course, other people worry that that's exactly what a group like ISIS wants. They want to be treated like a state, something to be negotiated with. So it just seems like an impossible situation. Meanwhile, you are out there pushing for some kind of transparency, awareness, communication, conversation.
We would like a clear policy that American hostage families can understand where our government stands and where our responsibilities are as families also. And that clarity wasn't there for us.
Can you just tell us a little bit about being part of this community? We were stunned when we visited with Theo Padnos' mother to realize how close you had become with her. Her son was released. Yours was not. She also knew the Mueller family, and this was months ago. It's a club nobody wants to be in, but it sounds like a pretty incredible one.
Well, all of these young Americans are, you know, outstanding young people trying to understand a different part of the world. And certainly the journalists trying to bring that understanding to us in the news, the aid workers bringing their compassion. I really feel they're all doing very vital work.
Well, and John, you said something so touching. You said that the freed hostages had become like your sons. You know, some people might think it would be too painful to see someone else's child who'd been released when yours hadn't.
I think it was very helpful for Diane and I to reacquaint ourselves with our son, who we hadn't seen in a year and a half. And it was comforting to know the role he played in the cell in terms of trying to hold all of the captives together. And I think that he was loved by all of the people that we spoke to, and that certainly buoyed us. We think he left a mark, and we really wanted to share that.
Diane and John Foley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.